Pale Blue Wave is from a book called Pale Blue Dot from Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan was a big, kind of like a big figure in my life because I was introduced to him at a very interesting, like my life started, I was on a turning point in my life. And just the way he explains like the insanity that is life on Earth, like we're on this rock flying through the universe and no one knows anything. No one knows like the answers to life, like the real questions. There are no answers. We're just living, you know, it was like this turning point for me when I was probably like 26 and I realized how insane it was to be alive and have the opportunity to be on Earth.
While almost everyone is taught that the Earth is a sphere, with all of us somehow glued to it by gravity, the reality of our circumstance did not really begin to sink in until the famous frame-filling Apollo photograph of the whole Earth, the one taken by the Apollo 17 astronauts on the last journey of humans to the moon. It seemed to me that another picture of the Earth, this one taken from 100,000 times farther away, might help in the continuing process of revealing to ourselves our true circumstance and condition. It had been well understood by the scientists and philosophers of classical antiquity that the Earth was a mere point in a vast, encompassing cosmos.
Look at that dot. Look at it again. Well, that's here. That's home. That's us. On it is everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who's ever was, lived out their lives. It's the aggregate of our joy, suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero, coward, every creator, destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother, father, hopeful child, inventor, explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt position, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mole of dust suspended in a sunbeam. All right, here we go. Let's get going. At the top of the show, you heard street photographer Pale Blue Wave, whose images are primarily captured in the heart of downtown Portland. Ryan archives his impromptu shoots with a GoPro that feature interactions with fellow Portlanders, which are then posted on his social media accounts, reaching millions of screens worldwide. I'm Greg Bidet, you're listening to a brand new season of the Portland Podcast. More now from Ryan, a.k.a. Pale Blue Wave.
Well, I guess I'll address a few things here. So first, the idea that I'm an extrovert is actually, well, okay, it's very interesting. I wasn't the type to just go approach people like, well, maybe that's not true. I guess in my like late 20s, I started doing that when I was like single, but that was obviously for a very different reason. So I guess I am more like outgoing in that way. Mm-hmm. In general, I'm a more introverted person than I probably seem like on my videos. The thing that this whole thing has taught me, this whole like photography journey I'm on with portraits, is that there's a piece of me that's actually really extroverted that I didn't actually know really existed until I started doing this. But I agree that for me, it's like when I have an interaction, it's like I am full of energy, you know, like that. It's like I'm soaking in the energy from the interaction. And I had never really experienced that in such a repeatable way. Like the fact that I repeated it over and over and over again made me realize what was happening. So it's been an interesting journey just with that. Yeah. I missed the I missed your question at the end, though. Well, I want to answer that, too.
We get different reactions. I mean, mostly positive, but there are other reactions, too. That's part of it.
Yeah, I would say, like, it's a much more positive reaction than I would have thought going into the whole project, where it's about 20% of people say no. And I would say 90% of those who say no do it in an extremely polite way. And then there's, you know, the 10% of those no's where they give me a look and then walk quickly away without really wanting to talk anymore, mm-hmm. which is totally fair. Like, the thing that I go into every interaction with is these people don't owe me a single thing, and I don't really owe them anything either. It's just they don't know who I am. I don't know who they are. And, you know, the fact they want to walk away is totally fair. It kind of hurts, like, slightly. I'm not going to lie. It's like, doesn't feel good. But also, I'm like, done this so much now that I just get over it, like, so fast now.
Yeah. I know exactly how that feels. You're such a mellow guy. You know, you're doing this very extroverted thing. And I think to do it in a mellow way actually really connects with people, because it can be a bit overwhelming, and it's just not something that people are used to now, strangers, even though that's how people met for the past, since the dawn of time.
So yeah, for sure. I think the mellowness, the thing is, when I started this, I really had no perception of what would happen. I had very, very little experience behind the camera, first of all. Probably like 2 months of actual hands-on photography experience. And then also, I didn't really know what I was doing, like posing people. I didn't know. What I'm trying to get to is, like, everything that you're seeing is just like my natural state of being. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no show. Although I think of it kind now, like, I've had so long to think about this. There is like a performance art aspect to this that is part of like the whole experience, but the performance is not me actually like putting on a mask or like performing in a way, but it's actually me just being there and being myself. I would say it is like a different version of me, you know, like than what you'd see if you like met up with me at a bar or like hung out at my house and we had dinner or something. You know, just the same way someone like goes into work, like a corporate job, they're not going to, then they act a certain way. It's not going to be like an exact match to what they are when they're home, but it's still like who they are, you know? Yeah. And for me, it's way closer. I did the corporate thing too. When I'm on the streets, like doing my thing, that's like the real me. And whereas when you're working for a corporation, like you can definitely put a mask on in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a slightly different version, but also it's, you know, I never thought about it when I started. I never thought about like, oh, I'm going to do this or this, or I'm going to say this. But now that I've been doing it a year and a half, I can like, I've learned so much about what I was doing, like why it worked for me, even though I never thought about it. So I can like have these thoughts about why it works for me. it's very strange to try to explain this, but like I give people space, right? Sometimes I like raise the inflection, my inflection of my voice. Mm-hmm. And you know, I tend to approach people straight on and like I always maintain eye contact, but I never thought about any of that until I analyzed my videos, you know, 150 times.
Hey, actually I do portraits.
And oh, that's sweet.
I think you'd be great for it. You have a really cool look.
What kind of portraits do you do?
I just go all over Portland and I do portraits. So like I approach people and then, so I have a GoPro running. So it's like video.
Hello. What kind of energy do you like to bring out in people?
I try to capture what's there.
Oh,
so like some people are like quiet and shy.
Yeah.
Of course I'll like talk to them during it. And, like,
no, you have to, because otherwise I'm going to go like this.
See, I knew you had a great look. Great smile, too. I just knew it when I saw you. Turn just a little more and then look back. You are good at this. Dramatic.
What was your name?
I'm Ryan.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Piper.
Piper?
Yeah.
Wow, what a name. That's awesome.
Thank you. I like to bring out the best in people. Every day, help them someone smile. I love to smile. I love to see other people smile. I think I see the world romantically.
Have you always been like that?
Yeah. I mean, life gets pretty, like, there's that little part of you that just wants to have a good day and skip and say, yippee. My biggest dream is to feel human. Just feel connected to my humanity. Not like the internet is always following me around, other people's judgments, just innately what I am at my core, finding that.
Okay. One interesting thing for me is, like, when I'm walking around, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes I'm like, well, I could turn a corner, having just random corner. Everything I do is just completely random. It's like chaos. I can turn a corner, run into someone, and then 100 million people will see that interaction, you know? Or like, I don't know, my biggest video probably has like, okay, maybe not 100 million, but it's like my biggest video has like 45 million views,
wow,
you know, across all my socials. So like, if you think about that too much, but I'm a somewhat anxious person. So if I think about that too much, I would think it's going to like change the way I do my work.
Yeah.
But the reality is like when I get there and I start talking to someone, hey, excuse me, mm-hmm, all of that falls away. Like any sort of like thinking about what the video is going to be like or thinking about anything. It's just purely like a meditative zone where I'm in the zone talking to someone.
I know exactly how you feel. It's intimate. You know, you're looking at somebody, they're looking at you. And I don't know what it is about a stranger that you just talked to, the look of amazement on their face and bewilderment. I'm addicted to it. Are you?
Oh, yeah. The crazy thing is I can read someone within like, hey, excuse me, and they look at me. And then if I say like, hey, I do portraits, like that's probably all I need to know which way we're going, you know, just by their reaction.
Yeah.
And I can, that's the other thing is I read people so fast. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about it, but I just know it now from doing this so much.
You read them. It's a primal instinct, right? I mean, perhaps this is the hunter instinct, you know. Perhaps your grandfather was, you know, out there with the wolves hunting in the woods and he had to be instinctual. So
it's definitely instinct because I don't think about it, right? It's not the only reason it's conscious thought now is because I've been doing it for a year and a half, mm-hmm, and also been talking about it for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So I've had to analyze all of my behavior, how people react to me. Whereas like before, the first time I walked up to someone, there was 0%. It was just all subconscious, like me in the moment.
Your first Instagram post was, it looked like a goth guy. Can you walk me through that first post? Do you remember that?
So this was my first reel. Maybe my first portrait. Was it like a still or was it a...
This was a gentleman on the street and he had this kind of hat, this black hat. He was dressed in all black, a goth. It's the first thing I saw of yours on Instagram. And you didn't even speak to him in the clip.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. My first reel before I did a portrait. So that was like a candid.
Yes.
Wait, I think. Is it the one where the guy has like this huge hat on? Like,
yes.
Yeah. And so that was different in that, you know, I didn't talk to that person. Yeah, that's like candid photography where I saw him, I popped a photo of him and I had the GoPro running. So I had just kind of that, the feel of what it would be like to work on candid photography.
Yeah.
So I think I wasn't sure what direction I was going in, right? Like when I started, I didn't know I'd do portraits.
Yeah.
I immediately, as soon as I asked someone to do a portrait, I immediately was like, I need to do that again and a lot more, you know, and I'd go out 6-7 days a week, mm-hmm, every day for 2 to 3 hours a day, mm-hmm, and do this.
Yeah. I'm curious about your background. I don't know much about you, Ryan. You've done a lot of press, though, about it's specifically about your photography. But your background, are you a native Portlander? Can you tell us about the younger version of Pale Blue Wave? And, you know, you've worked in the corporate environment. I'm sure you've had other artistic endeavors beyond photography. I'd like to just delve deep into your background, if you don't mind opening up about it and sharing that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been in Portland for 32 years. I was born in Oakland, lived in the Bay Area for 8 years. So that's kind of my childhood when I think about it. You know, I the childhood was very like idyllic for me. Like, I don't know if I said that right, but idyllic. Where when I think about it, it's like I'm out on the street playing street hockey with a bunch of friends. And then my mom like comes out the door and she's like, time for dinner, you know, and it's like evening. That was kind of my childhood. And then, we moved up to Oregon and it rains a lot more up here. Yeah. So there's not a lot of street hockey. But I would say I'm like basically a Portlander. I've lived here. Well, I've been up in the Northwest for 32 years. I moved to Seattle for 8 years for work. That's when I was doing corporate work.
Corporate work. Yeah, can you tell me about that? Your corporate life. How did that affect you and your photography? Did it help you redirect, pivot into this new endeavor?
It's kind of a trip. I don't know. Like my corporate life, it was, it's a part of my life that feels so far away right now, which is crazy. But it used to be kind of my, what I breathed every day. I lived and breathed kind of like corporate ladder, like moving up, always pivoting. Like,
And what were you doing?
Well, I did marketing. I did digital marketing. So like paid marketing is what it's called. So you're buying advertisements for, you know, I worked at an agency to start, you know, you do like the ads you see on Google, you know, when you type in something, you see like the text ads.
Right.
I would do that. And then, you know, I grew into a management position and then grew to lead a team. And, you know, the way I think about it is I had a successful career. Yeah, I had a very successful career, like for sure. But it was slowly kind of destroying me. Literally, I was having health problems, high stress.
Health problems, like really?
Sorry, go ahead.
Health problems.
Yeah. I had like all kinds of these issues that were likely from stress, like a lot of sleep problems. You know, my job was very much a lot of public speaking.
Lots of public speaking.
Yeah, but I hated it. I dreaded it. So every day, if I had a presentation to give like a week from now, I would like think about it and be anxious about it for a whole week leading up to it, you know? And it just became, you would think you'd do it more and more. The thing is, I hide it so well. That's the thing. I'm like, no one ever knew that. Maybe someone would get like a little bit clue in that I'd be anxious every once in a while, but really I'm very good at like hiding that aspect of myself. So I ended up being really successful because I would kind of force myself into this situation that I despised all the time. And I thought that it would get better over time, that it would get easier for me, but that never happened. It never, ever happened for me. And I slowly just started to not really enjoy it, you know, like because I knew it was like in conflict with what my internal self was telling me. So over time, I kind of, I kind of fell away from it. I still like worked hard, but over time, I knew it wasn't a long-term, like I couldn't do it long-term, right? And then I had some things pop up with my health that led to me getting a camera. Yeah. And then that's this like whole different part of my life began.
And you were kind of fumbling around. So you were learning how to become a photographer from scratch. Were you an amateur photographer before that or what?
No, I had no, like I had done video in college. I used to live in Japan. I went to Japan after college and lived there for a year and taught English. And I was like making these little music videos, you know, like my favorite songs. And then I'd like do these montage videos over them. Mm-hmm. And that was really the only I've always been creative, but never consistent. Never consistent. And then also like my career took over and I was career mode for 15 years. But yeah, like back in my 20s, I did maybe a year of video work with like a Sony camcorder, you know, like this was 2007. Right. So it was like an old school Sony camcorder. And then I quit. Once I got a job, I just everything creative fell away. Yeah. But I think I trained my eye a bit with those videos. Like I look back at my old videos and I'm like, okay, I had something, right? Like there's something there. Like I don't think I'm like the greatest ever. Like I just think like I like my own stuff, I'm like, no, I'm doing good, right? Like I'm going down, if I watch something I make and I'm like, okay, I kind of like that, my style's there and I'm feeling something from it, then I'm like, I'm moving in the right way, in the right direction. But yeah, there's pieces of that in my old stuff. If you watch it, you'd be like, okay, like, I don't know. I just like capture these moments and I use the right music. And that's just part of, I guess, my creative self.
And your work does have quite a reach. I am really curious about how that affects you. I'm embarrassed by attention. I don't know about you, though. You seem like a very, very thoughtful person. I don't know if that's because of health issues, you've had a lot of time to think, or if that's just how you are. So you obviously put a lot of thought into that and perhaps how that does affect you. Is that something you contend with? Is that something that you contend with and think a lot about, or you just go about your business? Or maybe a bit of both.
I mean, I really struggled with it when I started. First, I had no idea of what it would become. Like, I had 10 followers, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't have any idea what would happen. So, in the back of my mind, I was like, what if people actually watch these? Like, that might be crazy. Like, I had a job, too, at the time. I had a corporate, you know, my corporate gig where I was, like, a team lead. So, I was like, man, if someone, like, recognizes me, that's kind of weird. Yeah. Like, for me, it's like a corporate team lead, you know? Mm-hmm. That just feels weird to me because I was so like, I don't know. If you've worked in a corporation, maybe you know what I mean. But you kind of got to be 100% by the book, you know?
Oh, I'm human resources. I'm an HR manager. So yes, I get it.
Yeah. I had a team of like 12 people. So it's like it's not a huge team, but it's a big enough team where like you're responsible, right? And if they found like an Instagram reel like that, not that what I do is like controversial, but it's also just not related to my work. You know, it's like, okay. Anyways, I'm going to move off that part just because I don't think it matters. But in terms of like when things started to ramp up, I really struggled with that because I am a very private person for sure. But I love to create my art, you know? And there's the trade-off is the more reach you get, the less privacy you get, the more attention you get from, and the comments I struggled with a lot when I started, because it really, everything affected me very greatly, you know? And also I wasn't very skilled. I think I'm obviously more skilled now, but I still am learning every day. Mm-hmm. But as someone who's just starting to get comments where it's like, man, your stuff is trash, like just quit. I could do that with my iPhone. That stuff would actually like really hurt me in a way where I would, the thought would cross my mind, like maybe I should quit. But then pretty quickly I'd be like, screw that. Like, why would I quit? Because someone, like the whole point of what I'm doing is you can go back to my early videos and see where I came from, right? There's like the whole creative arc of my work is live and available to see, which I love. That's like my favorite part of what I'm doing is there's a backlog to my work. And it's very like real time to me. I'm excited about that because I know like 3 years from now, I'm going to look back at my stuff today and I'm going to be like, whoa, like I'm continuing to, I just always push myself. Like I'm always pushing myself.
You really have accomplished something very special. I would like to talk about your members only live stream. I'd like for you to push this as much as you can. What are we missing out if we're not a member?
Well, you asked the question really quick and you said, why do you push yourself? And I push myself because I want to be the best I can be. And that is what drives me.
You're like, going to join the army next?
The best at what I do. Like, not in a, I am very competitive. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not like competitive against other photographers. Like, I love talking with other photographers, but I'm competitive with myself.
Yeah.
And I want to like push myself and create the best work I can create. And then, I lost the other question.
Oh, yeah, the live stream, the members only live stream. Why should we become a member?
That's a great question. Well, basically, the live stream is me creating my art it's like if you were to watch a sculptor and they just had, you know, a piece of whatever they're sculpting in front of, it's just a big mound, you know? And then if you're interested in seeing the process, you know, you see the final product at some point, but if you want to know how it's made, that's what my live streams are. Like I get the raw photos, I edit them in Lightroom, I get the video and I take it in DaVinci, which is a video editing software. And I basically just live stream myself creating the videos. Mm-hmm. So I don't like gatekeeping anything, first of all. Although I do, it's members only because I'm still like back and forth. Like just like opening it to everyone seems a little, I don't know how interested the general public is in just watching me for 3 hours, you know, like working on my art. And I'm not like the most interesting guy, I think. I'm not like the best live streamer. So it's really, and I'm just there to work, really. But I'll talk to people also.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just like me in my element. And if like other creators, other photographers want to see how I'm doing what I do, that's a cool way to check it out. And then if you're just like my work and want to talk to me, that's another good way to like connect on a deeper level.
Yeah. I'm curious, influences, Pale Blue Wave. Is that from a film? Is that just something you came up with, filmmakers, writers, other photographers, what's helped shape you, help you become the supreme artist you are today?
Oh, I'm not a supreme artist. I'm like a blooming newbie, you know, like I'm like at the very beginning of my artistic journey, really. That's how I honestly feel. I feel like such a noob, like, but that's okay. I don't mind feeling that way. And it's just real. Like I've only done this a year and a half. So anyways, inspirations.
Yes.
I'm weird probably because like I know what like most people watch and like they talk about and I never know what they're talking. Like if they're talking about media stuff, like when I watch a movie, I'm watching like Kurosawa, you know, I'm watching some old Italian film from like 1940, you know.
Yeah.
that's what I, if I, that's where I grew up on. I grew up on that stuff. And that's what I always gravitated to. Like old Fellini films, like 8 and a half was like my Bible, you know? I was obsessed with that. And just everything about it, the whole idea of the director, like I loved the idea of like a director, you know, like Fellini. And then like, you're just, it's his vision. And you, I fell into that and I let it like take me away. And then, yeah, like, I don't know. That's, so I don't watch like current stuff though. Like, you know, I don't consume media really. I just like work all the time. That's basically it. I just work. Like 95% of my day is working, yeah. Which I love. It doesn't feel like work, you know, it's just me doing what I want to do.
So what else do you do? What is a typical day in Ryan's life?
Well, I stay up way too late. I'll stay up till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I'll like, just editing, I'll wake up around.
Editing the whole time?
What was that?
Just editing the whole time?
Oh, no. Like, so not edit. No, no, no. Like, I work in spurts unless I'm live streaming. Yeah. But I'll work. The thing is, it's just spread out throughout the day. So I'm like constantly, and if I'm not like actually editing or like, you know, doing a video, I'm like thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I got this problem with this video. How am I going to figure out this problem? And then I'll go take the cat for a walk. I like walk my cats, you know, and I'll be mulling over the problem. So it's like, I'm not working per se, but really I'm like solving problems still. It's kind of a problem, actually. It's like it is a kind of a problem where, you know, I get a little too hyper-focused. It allows me to be extremely, I'm extremely, my work ethic is very good, right?
Yeah.
I am constantly putting out stuff and working. But there, you know, then you have to like take a look at what else is happening in your life. And it definitely has an effect, you know, on relationships and, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I think of it as like, I have a very cool opportunity and a very interesting chance to make my life my art, which is so rare. It's so rare for people to have that opportunity.
I'm glad you realized that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every day I get to do exactly what I want to do whenever I want to do it. I have no boss. I have no one telling me what to do. So that to me, like when I started this, was freedom. Like I did this from the start because I wanted to go out and shoot photos of people and do portraits. And that's what I wanted to do. So I did it. And then I wanted to go home, edit videos. I wanted to make videos. So I did it. Yeah. And then I just kept doing it. And my goal is just to do exactly what I want to do every single day of my life. Like, obviously, I have other commitments, right? And I'm not like, but I usually want to do those commitments, right? Like hang out with family, hang out with friends, you know, but in the grand scheme of things, I love the freedom of my life now.
Yeah. No, I really feel that. Just one final question there, Ryan. Do you like bossing people around, like telling them how to pose? Do you enjoy that part of it? I'm curious.
Well, bossing it around is kind of a, probably not the right word choice. Like maybe it's, I don't know if it sounds that way to you on the videos, but you know what? When I'm in the zone, I'm usually in the zone with that person. We're on the same wavelength, right? We're like two arms working together to create something.
Yeah.
So it's really, to me, more directing than anything else.
I see.
Just directing.
You're the director. You're the Fellini. Yeah.
Like the thing that drew me to them, I'm trying to capture that, right? I'm trying to get that into a photograph.
Yeah.
And the only way for me to do that is to direct them in some way. Mm-hmm. Unless they're just a natural talent, which happens for sure. I don't have to say a single thing. Like, sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Boy, that's a really beautiful answer. Not what I expected. I think I'm projecting a bit because I'm a bit bossy. But I love that working together, directing and working as a unit, that's a beautiful answer. And perhaps I can incorporate that myself into my direction. I'm an amateur photographer myself. I mean, but I'm just a very curious person. I like to hear people's stories and talk to strangers. It's really what drew me to your content. As much as the photography, I think it's a social experiment as much as it is, you know, what you're doing. I mean, it almost doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, you're making connections with people, and that is something special, and it's really resonating with millions of people. Pale Blue Wave, why are you Pale Blue Wave?
Well, first I want to just say, don't overthink it. That's like my always it, like, don't overthink it. Like, the connection to people, everything, all these external things, just do the work. Like, don't overthink it or else. Well, not or else. It's just, that's my strategy. I don't like to overthink anything. I just want to go do it.
Yeah.
Like, follow my impulse.
Yeah.
Pale Blue Wave is from, there's a book called Pale Blue Dot from Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan was a big, kind of like a big figure in my life because I was introduced to him at a very interesting, like, my life started, I was on a turning point in my life. And just the way he explains, like, the insanity that is life on Earth, like, we're on this rock flying through the universe and no one knows anything. No one knows, like, the answers to life, like, the real questions, there are no answers. We're just living, you know, it was like this turning point for me when I was probably like 26 and I realized how insane it was to be alive and have the opportunity to be on Earth. And that always stuck with me. So I don't know, when I sat down, I was like, I need a name. I didn't start as Pale Blue Wave. It was like, I had such a bad name to start. It was like Only, which is like a Radiohead reference. And like Only was taken on Instagram. So I had to use ones instead of L's.
Yeah.
And then like I was doing portraits and I'd like try to tell people my name and they'd be like, what? Like, I can't find you. And I was like, all right, this isn't going to work. So I like sat down and was like, well, I guess I need like a name.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Pale Blue came out and as, you know, one of my inspirations. And then the wave is like the kind of like life. Like sometimes you're on top of the wave, things are going amazing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the wave smashes you into rocks and beats you up. So that's kind of the metaphor there.
From Saturn, I knew the Earth would appear too small for Voyager to make out any detail. Our planet would be just a point of light, a lonely pixel, hardly distinguishable from the many other points of light Voyager would see, nearby planets, far-off suns. But precisely because of the obscurity of our world thus revealed, such a picture might be worth having. While almost everyone is taught that the Earth is a sphere, with all of us somehow glued to it by gravity, the reality of our circumstance did not really begin to sink in until the famous frame-filling Apollo photograph of the whole Earth, the one taken by the Apollo 17 astronauts on the last journey of humans to the moon. It seemed to me that another picture of the Earth, this one taken from 100,000 times farther away, might help in the continuing process of revealing to ourselves our true circumstance and condition. It had been well understood by the scientists and philosophers of classical antiquity that the Earth was a mere point in a vast, encompassing cosmos. But no one had ever seen it as such. Consider again that dot. That's here, That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.